Welcome to Israel. Why is the Middle East important? We Christians are the Notzrim, according to most Jews today. We are the watchers on the wall. Our purpose as members of the Commonwealth of Israel is to serve and protect God's people. After the formation of the world, God enacted a plan, and that plan began in the Middle East at the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that plan concludes in that same place. The context of the entirety of God's plan begins and completes in and with Israel. There is no denying that, nor refuting it, if you are a Jew or a Christian, and the anthropological evidence verifies it. For the purposes of this podcast, Israel is both a nation and a people. Well, Neil, we just finished an episode on the shofar, and I thought that went really well, and you really blew it. I mean, you blasted it. It was great.
Well, thanks for that, Jeff. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's important that we recognize, as we said, the sound of the shofar.
Exactly. So today, folks, we're going to talk about we're going to lead in with a prayer shawl. Talk about the prayer shawl. It's some really interesting things to know about that. But then that's going to lead us to a discussion about the tallit and then the tzitzit, which is the hem of the garden, the garment of a Jew. And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. And Neil, let's kick it off with this.
Sure.
This revelation that I got from you about the prayer shawl, just a general observation that you gave me. You said that the prayer shawl is the prayer closet. And I went, prayer closet? How can it be a prayer closet? And then you enacted a movement where you lifted the prayer shawl off your shoulders and placed it over your head, and now you're inside the closet.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. That's exactly what it's conveying, and that's what traditionally and historically has always meant. There were no closets, as we said, in any Jewish home.
Yeah.
They didn't look at their suit they were going to wear that day, like maybe we do in the 20th century here, and pick out their clothes. No, what they did is they wrapped their tallit over their head.
That's a four-cornered shawl.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's a four-corner, and that's where we get the whole thing about what is a tallit, and specifically, as you alluded to, and you'll develop, the tzitzit that hang off of those four corners.
Right, the tzitzit, yes. And so that was it's a powerful thing. So to me, what I'm hearing is that when I lift that, if I have a prayer shawl, and not everybody has one, it's not a requirement in any way to have a prayer shawl, but the tallit, if you have a tallit, if you lift it up and place it over my head, as I place it over my head, and I'm not doing that right now, folks, but if I did that, right, I would be entering in. Right,
you would be entering in,
entering into the Holy of Holies, in a sense.
In a sense, right?
Yeah, it's me and God.
That's right. Exactly right. You're shutting out the outside influences of the world, as it were, and you are in your closet. Mm-hmm. You are in your private space.
My space.
Praying to God, seeking God's direction, generally.
Yeah, I like the whole idea of that. It just rings true with me.
Right.
Okay. So in Numbers 15. That's kind of where it kicks off. God gives the Israelites a specific instruction. And what is that?
Right. Well, Numbers 15:38 reads specifically, speak to the Israelites. So it's for Israel, as you said. It's not for everybody, but you can.
You can do it. You're not prohibited.
You're not prohibited, but it says, speak to the Israelites and tell them that throughout the generations to come, meaning forever.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. They are to make for themselves fringes, that's the tzitzit, fringes for the corners of their garments with a blue cord on each tassel.
Okay.
So that's where the command comes to have these fringes, these tzitzit, hanging off the four corners of a garment. Now today, Jeff, as you and I discussed, none of us wear a four-cornered garment.
Right.
It's tapered, it's finished off.
So Moses, when God repeats himself, we know he means it, right?
Right.
And Moses, again, in Deuteronomy 22:12 says what?
Well, there he says, you are to make tassels on the four corners of your garment you wear. So again, he repeats this commandment of God given in Numbers 15 that the Israelites are to always wear forever these tzitzit, these fringes.
Okay, and then in Numbers 38, 39, we learn the purpose of it.
And there we have the purpose is there will be a tassel for you to look at so that you remember the commandments of the Lord. So practically, and what that means is one will see the fringes and know that God lives. He exists.
So how do the tzitzit help me remember the commandments? How do they do that?
Well, it's a visual reminder. If you see this fringe, you'll say to yourself, wait a minute, what is it that I do believe? Mm. What is it that I do accept? What is it that I am looking for? Mm-hmm. And for us who are grafted into the covenant and the promises of Israel, we're looking for all kinds of things, one of which, and the main thing, is the Messiah. We are looking for the Messiah.
Amen.
And he embodied
Amen.
And encompassed all. All of the commandments contained in the first covenant, if you will, all of the commandments of God.
And how does the tzitzit remind me of that?
Well, the tzitzit is a visual reminder.
Of
and let's face it.
But isn't there a way it's constructed that's supposed to?
Well, there's a way it's constructed, for sure. There's a way it's tied, and there are knots, and so on. It equals the number 613, which the rabbis have said there are 613 specific commands of God in the Tanakh, or the Torah.
In the Torah.
Now, the important thing, though, for us believers is whether there are 614 or 620 or 600, it doesn't matter. The idea is we have been given by God senses. And one of the main senses that we're led by is sight. What do I see? Mm-hmm. What do I see? Mm-hmm. And if you see these tzitzit hanging there, you know a number of things right away. If I see somebody wearing fringe off the corners of their garment, whether they've attached them or whatever today, different ways they do it, you say, I know that person is a believer in God, that person is a reminder of God, and that's what God's saying. You'll see these things. It's not you'll smell them or you'll taste them or you'll feel them. You'll see them and you will know what it is you claim. Myself included, every one of us claims we believe and we are looking forward to.
Wow. So I'm hearing two things here that are both complementary. The one is that by wearing a garment with the tassels and the knots, with the knots representing the Torah, it's a remembrance for me, it says, right? It says that I am worshiping a living God, and he has given me 600 and so many commandments, and I'm to follow those out of respect and love for God, because Jesus said, if you follow my commandments, that's how you love me, right?
Right.
So that's that. But the other side of the coin is that other people will look at this garment and also say, well, there goes a believer.
Right, that's so exactly right.
So it's a two-way message.
You can't miss somebody who wears tzitzit. And again, we got to be careful because we're not telling people to run out and buy a tzitzit of any type. But if you want to and you feel you should, you can.
Sure, absolutely.
There's no prohibition you cannot wear it.
No prohibition, that's exactly right. Okay, so in Malachi 4, right, there's a verse that, you know, and this got into the four-cornered garment that and the prayer shawl that kind of, it blew me away. The Sun of Righteousness, it says, will rise with healing in its wings.
Right.
And the Sun of Righteousness can also be translated Son of Vindication. So it's S-U-N in the verse.
Right.
And S-O-N in some translations, the Son of Vindication.
Correct.
Okay. So talk about that for me. That's interesting.
Well,
the wings. That's the part.
Yes, indeed. I mean, because the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings or in his wings. It can be translated either way. Mm-hmm. Either way is correct.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what? What is that? Well, that is a very specific hint of a messianic reality and the power of the tzitzit, of the fringe. So what that means is the Son of Righteousness, which again, this whole chapter of Malachi is speaking of that day, our day, the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Oh, wow.
And it's speaking of the Son of Righteousness. Who else could that be but Jesus? He's the only one righteous. Mm-hmm. He is the bright sun for all kinds of reasons.
The light of the world.
The light of the world.
I am the light and the, what is the other thing he says in John? I am the way and the light.
The way and the light, yeah. And all kinds of associations he made with light, the Father of lights and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But also this burning idea, the idea of the sun burns. It can destroy everything just as well.
Mm.
And this is what we're told about and told will happen in the New Testament, that Son of Righteousness, this burning of chaff, if you will, of the evil, of destroying the evil, he will, in the book of Revelation, be the light of the whole world. Yeah, there won't be any need for a sun anymore.
That's what it says. The glory of God will fill the temple.
So this idea of the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings is very much a hint.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about a messianic expectation. And to your question when you asked, what does it mean healing in its wings?
Wings,
wings specifically... the word is kanaf, and kanaf means wings.
Mm-hmm.
It means wings.
Okay.
It also means corners.
Uh-huh.
So the Messiah will rise with healing in the corners of his garment, which is exactly what we read about in the Torah when God said, tell the Israelites they will put these tzitzit on the corners of their garment.
And there'll be healing in those wings.
And we know there's
four
healing.
Four corners. Right. And that's going to take me right away to the woman with the issue of blood.
There's just no escaping it. It's probably one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible.
So Jesus is walking through that town, and she somehow gets an idea or a message from God or some kind of prompting that says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed.
Right. And so these messianic hints, this messianic idea was not lost on these first century Jewish believers. Mm-hmm. They understood that these promises of God contained within the tzitzit, the wrappings and the numbers and so on, the 613 laws, they say, most of them pertain, of course, to being in Israel and pertain to the priesthood. Yeah. Very, very, very few pertain to anybody else. So before you say, wow, I've got to watch 613 specific laws, that's not the case. As one person said, and I loved his quip, he said, I have to obey more laws driving to work in the morning than I have to obey in the 613 commandments
of God. Isn't that true? That is true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
We have thousands and thousands and thousands of laws.
Right. First and foremost is the speed limit. That's
right.
A law. If you break it, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
So, nonetheless...
I saw somebody on the way over here, by the way, having an appointment with a policeman in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so here's something that's... I want to pause us. The entirety of the law is on the four corners of the garment.
The entirety of the law.
Each corner represents a percentage of the law, but it's altogether 613, right?
Every corner is wrapped up in
So as a Christian, I might say to myself, as a Christian listening right now, I might say to myself, well, I don't follow the law. The law has been made obsolete. It says so. Paul said it was obsolete. But obsolete doesn't mean... not in force. It just means that it was fulfilled. It's the reason it's obsolete is because it was fulfilled in Jesus. Fulfilled means fully in force. It's fully in force. And Jesus said there's two laws that complete the 613. You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment with tzitzit on all four corners, I'm living that.
Right.
Those two. I'm also living those two.
Right.
So it's easily for a Christian or for a Jew.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's either way, it's the law.
Right. And we don't want to get off on a tangent, but it's a good that you pointed it out, I think, and that is Jesus didn't say anything, what I always try to point out. Wait for me to die, and then you'll realize it's all for naught. There was no reason that we gave these commandments. No, he said, when asked, what is the most important? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, as if anybody could really do that.
Right.
And then he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, again, no, none of us can do that. How can you do that? And it begs all kinds of questions. Who's my neighbor? How far out does it go? Where? It's eternal. It doesn't end. But the fact is, Jesus did not say, don't worry about it. No big deal. You'll understand someday. He said, first, follow this law. Second, this law is just like it. And it was a commandment of God.
And in these two laws, in these two is all the law and the prophets.
Right.
He said.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's it. That's a New Testament principle that if you love God, right, a great many things will be forgiven you because of your love. In other words, love trumps everything. I'm concerned about a person that's my neighbor. I'm concerned about God. I'm concerned. And that trumps everything else. Even sacrificial system and the laws that God said is good.
Mm.
It's good. Mm. But that loving thing, it hides, as it were, the idea of a multitude of sins. And that's a New Testament concept. I have love for the brethren. I have love for all kinds of people, different people. And that is the main takeaway from that story. But back to your question now, when you said about the woman with the issue of blood, that's very important because she understood this whole messianic ramification and symbolism of bound up within these fringes is healing.
And it's in the wings.
And I've tried this
right.
From everybody else.
Yes.
I've spent all my money on physicians,
it's
if
true.
You will.
She spent a ton of money.
So
that.
Now
yeah.
I am going to, if I can just touch the fringes of, it's translated hem, but if you read the Greek and from when it's translated, there's nothing for fringes, there's nothing for tzitzit, so it's hem, but she's talking about the fringes.
Yeah.
And what's important there is Jesus said, who touched me?
Yeah, me.
Not who's pulling on me, who's yanking on me.
Who touched me?
Who touched me? He totally identified and wrapped himself up in these 613, or whatever the appropriate number is, commands of God that he was them.
He was them. Fulfillment
he
of it.
He is them.
Yes.
And he said, who touched me?
Me.
He never said, who's yanking on me, who's grabbing the hem of my...
Who tugged on my clothing?
Of my jeans, my Levi's, right? Who pushed me? He said, who touched me?
Me, yeah.
And he felt it. He knew that. And so...
And the reason why, just real quick, Neil, come on. When he said me, he meant his clothes. No, the Bible doesn't waste words. It doesn't waste words at all.
Right. And his disciples asked him, Lord, you see the crowds.
Yeah.
You see the crowds. How are we to know who touched you? They all touched you, but he was speaking specifically,
yes.
There's somebody,
yes.
And this is where we get the woman with the issue of blood. And
yes.
It's contained in Scripture for posterity forever. What this woman did, she went out and said, if I can touch his tzitzit.
Right.
So a couple of things there. One, she understood what it meant, or hoped. She had hope.
Mm.
And two, Jesus was wearing tzitzit.
Yes, he was.
He wasn't just saying, I'm going to just do my own thing. I'm going to wear a blue blazer
right.
with a red tie, and I'm going to go on.
You mean he wasn't a nonconformist radical, Neil?
Right, he was not. He was very much a conformist.
Mm.
Right.
Followed the law daily, followed... Yes.
And he said very specifically in Matthew, don't think that I've come to abolish the law. Don't even give that a place. Don't think that.
That's
I have
right.
not come to abolish.
That's right. Exactly. Wow. Okay. So who touched me? And then Mark in chapter 6, verse 56,
Right, and there we have another picture again of the tzitzit. It says,
but it's a general. This is a. I like this because it's a general statement. Go ahead.
It's a general statement. No, and it's very much showing that throughout the whole villages and towns where he went, they brought the sick, and they begged him just to let them touch the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Well, wait a minute.
Hang on a second.
First of all, they're saying, can we just touch the fringe? And it says, all who touched him. Well, wait, they're asking to touch
fringe
his fringe.
Or him. Which one is it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And to your point, was it just there because it's superfluous?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I think I read it that they wanted to touch his fringe.
Yeah.
Because there's healing in its wings.
Yeah.
And he said, all who touched him.
Yeah, that's right.
So he identified with those commandments.
That's right. That's right. It's interesting. So the first one, the story of the woman with blood, that, is that in Luke?
That is in Luke.
It's
yes.
in Luke. So Luke wasn't there as an eyewitness of this. He talked to all the eyewitnesses that he could find and said what happened, and they told him what happened. So that's how Luke gets an account. But Mark was Peter's scribe, and Peter was actually there. And Peter says, you know, this. It wasn't just that, Mark. It was everywhere we went, the sick were just dying to touch the fringe of his cloak because they heard about the woman with blood and they wanted to be healed too. And guess what? They were.
Right. So.
Wow.
Right. And all of this is, like you always say, speculation. We don't know what Luke knew, what he didn't know. We don't know what Mark knew, what he saw, what he didn't know. But it's recorded
yeah.
that she was healed, and
yeah.
it's recorded that another group, all manner of sickness, was healed
yep.
because they wanted to touch his fringe, and they touched him.
Yep, exactly. Very good. So, by what authority, Neil, by what authority does this occur? So, in John 10:10 is one of my favorite, verses, 10:10. Jesus say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have full and satisfying to the full life, right? And this is in that same venue in John where these verse 32 and 33 show up, and it says, I have shown you many good works. So this is after he says, I come to give you life and have it to the full. I have shown you many good works. For which of these do you stone me? Okay, he's talking to the... It says in John, the Jews, but it's not the Jews, it's the Jewish leaders specifically, right, that they're talking to. We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, who are a man, declare yourself to be God.
Right, right. And that's the thing of Jesus' authority, is he had this authority, and he was God, and he knew he was God,
and is God, and
will come back as God. And he's trying to show to a people who very much thought the opposite, which is no man should equate himself with God. And in effect, that's
yes.
true.
Yes.
If
that's
you
right.
saw somebody who said, Jeff, follow me from here on out because I am really God incarnate, mm-hmm. you would say, have a good day.
Have a good day.
But yeah. Jesus came.
Officer.
Yeah, exactly. Have a good day. See you later. I'll be in touch, right? I'll call you. Don't call me. I'll call you. But that's what we have with Jesus' authority, is he knew what he was attempting to do. He knew how strange it was. And he was killed for equating himself with being God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they wanted to kill him, and that's why he ultimately was killed. But he was not killed for anything he did or said or wore, but because he declared himself to be God. And that's very important. He didn't say anything new. He didn't do anything new. He didn't wear anything new. He didn't wear a blue blazer, as I
right,
said before, with the red tie.
Yes.
He didn't do that. He wore very specifically the tzitzit, and they had healing in his wings.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So, going New Testament again. So, Acts chapter 19, it said there were some itinerant Jewish exorcists. They would say, I bind you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Eventually, one of the evil spirits answered them and said, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?
Right, right. That's, I think, a very telling, because as we've discussed before, Jeff, many times, the idea of exercising or healing or doing magic works was common in Jesus' day and before. Common. We see that right when Moses went into the court of Pharaoh when he wanted the Israelites. They had done their term as being slaves, and he brought them out. And what did he bring? He brought a staff, and he threw it down, and it was a serpent. Well, guess what? That was no big deal. So did the Egyptian magicians.
Did the same thing.
Well, by the time of Jesus' day, it was common to have these itinerant preachers, these itinerant miracle workers, exorcists, healers, whatever. But what they did do is they had a rote, something that they read by rote or specifically read, and they would adjure these spirits for healing or other means, other reasons, by the names of their ancestors and the name of Solomon and so on and so forth and so on. But Jesus did it because he had complete and absolute authority. He said, go, and they went.
Yep.
He said, be quiet, shut up.
Yep.
That's something I'm going to digress quickly here. For our audience, it's very important that people understand Jesus did not put up with these demonic beings. He told them, shut up, be quiet, go, get out, be done. And it says that some places, they even knew he was coming before he got there. They could tell in the spirit realm, however that works, he's coming, and they dummied up. They did not speak back. We have no recording that they said, hey, who do you think you are? Unlike this person who was just saying, I adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul talks about. So he didn't really know Jesus. He was out of his league, as it were. But he was doing what was common in that day. He was following the rote script of a holy man, and he was doing something in his name, whereas Jesus always said, I do it in my name, in my authority, by my, because of who I am. And that's what separated Jesus and what separated people who heard and saw him. They were astounded that he says it and he does these things with authority.
So, Neil, it's very powerful to me, the equation, when you say, who touched me? Jesus said, who touched me? And they really touched his cloak, and the cloak and the corners of his cloak, and the corners of his cloak had the 613 laws. It was resemblance of the entire Torah, right? And Jesus equated himself with that.
Right.
He equated himself with the Torah, and the Torah was given by God, so ergo, right, he's God.
He is,
right?
God.
He's God. So he's revealing it little by little by little throughout the course of the Gospels. He's revealing it without proclaiming it, which is what you started off by saying. If somebody walks up to you and says, I'm God, it's, officer,
right,
come over here, please.
Right.
You know, but he didn't do it that way. He did it with authority, and he did it proclaiming, and part of the way he proclaimed it, not by saying it outright, was through who touched me,
right,
as an example, who touched me, which is saying, you've just touched God.
Right, exactly correct. And many people proclaimed him as Messiah.
Mm.
He didn't have to say, I am Messiah. Mm-hmm. He did eventually on his death say, what you say is correct to the high priest.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, many people, including Peter, the very famous verses in Peter where Peter says, you are the Messiah, and Jesus says, flesh and blood has not shown this to you. But many people, even at his birth, proclaimed this specific human, God, as Messiah. So Peter was not the first. Many people had, and Jesus didn't need to, but he eventually did. He didn't go around saying, I am God, I am
right,
Messiah, I am
right
here. But his works, and he even asked them,
and I and the Father are one, isn't a direct statement.
It's correct.
You have to infer from it. But then when Jesus in Matthew 28, he's getting ready to leave, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All
right.
Authority has been given to me. The key word there is has been given. So has been given is a perfect tense, which means it happened before he said it.
Right.
And it's continuing to be true.
Right. Right.
And that's, so he's making a very, very clear statement in very few words.
That is correct. Yeah.
Has been given to me means it was already given before.
Everybody who ever heard Jesus was stunned by his authority.
Yep.
Even the demons obey him. And when he gave his disciples the power, it says he gave it to them, whatever that means, he gave them the power.
Yep.
They came back and said, holy cow, even the demons obey us.
Yep.
They're subject to this authority. So that's the thing that Jesus had. He had all this authority, and it's important to know that because of this authority, it didn't preclude him at all from, in this case, wearing tzitzit.
And to take that to its fullness and extension after after he raises up into heaven, right? He's ascended into heaven. The two angels appear to the apostles and say, what are you doing, guys?
Right.
Jesus, as you have seen him leave, so he shall return.
Correct.
Okay. So what that tells me is, tzitzit, when he comes back, going to have tzitzit.
I would agree.
A four-cornered garment.
I would agree.
With the tassels.
I think he'll have...
That's how he left.
Some kind of way.
He's coming back the way he left.
Seems like it to me. It does seem like it. And you can make an argument. It
sure.
Doesn't say this. It doesn't say that.
Right.
Fine. But I think the same way he left is the same way he'll come back. And he wore, in this case, as we keep saying, tzitzit.
Stay tuned for a special Hebrew blessing at the end of every episode, including this one. This has been a great discussion. I look forward to how it continues to unfold. As you can tell, Neil and I enjoy talking about the subject as it helps us to get to the root of the matter about God and why Israel and the Middle East are so important. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at our home at podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? That's podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? And you can find us any place great podcasts can be found. And you can find us on Facebook using the same title. And you can email us at whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. That's whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, please invite your friends to the conversation. You know, one thing Neil and I always say to each other is, I don't know. Because it is by having an opinion, yet holding it with an open hand, that we continue to grow. Shalom. See you next time. Wait for the blessing. Shalom.